In case you didn't know it, we're in the book of Revelation. And we're looking at the trumpet judgments. Now, before I get into it, let me just have a little caveat here. Just bear with me. This morning it started up, and I did something that I shouldn't have done. And my throat is very raw. So just in case some of you are concerned, it is not coronavirus. It is the throat problem that I usually had that I made worse. And so my fault, and I learned my lesson. Revelation chapter 8. I want us to finish out. We are looking at this great star falling from heaven. A lot of times there are many different possibilities of a word that would fit in here, asteroid, comet, things like this, that would fit into the biblical term star. And we read about it in chapter 8, in verse 10. It says, "The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters." And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Just want to make a couple observations, things that have come to the attention of the scientific community just in the past couple months. Japan has actually sent a space vehicle to examine one of the comets, or asteroids rather, that were coming near the Earth. What they found there was that there was a substance that was liquid on that asteroid. First time that they had seen anything like this. The suggestion was that it was water. But then some of the other scientists disagreed and just said, no, it's just a liquid. And so they really don't know. This is a similar situation to this comet, asteroid, or whatever, called Wormwood. And when it comes into the Earth's atmosphere, it brings with it this material, whatever it is, and as the trajectory, it comes in at a glancing side. I mean, things just don't plop down from the atmosphere straight down. So they curve across, and when that takes place, it distributes whatever is part of that asteroid or whatever in its entire path. And so this thing, Wormwood, as one of the judgments of God, carries with it a toxic material. And I went into the Greek word here, where it talks about bitter, and it is a word that means to produce irritation of the stomach, to produce irritation of the stomach. Now, you're familiar with the anatomy of the human body, and if it irritates the stomach, it's going to go elsewhere. And what we have today is something very similar to that, a disease called cholera. And basically, a person dies from dehydration, and that's the end of them. So I just wanted to bring that out, because this is something new that the Japanese scientists have found. And it certainly fits in to the biblical description here of this this space entity called Wormwood. But now we're going to put our attention today mostly into verse 12, where it deals with the fourth trumpet judgment. Now keep in mind, these things are happening during the tribulation. This is not before the tribulation. This is during that seven-year period. And you can see on our chart that it actually begins, that seven-year period begins when we are lifted up. It's called the rapture, not in the Bible, but outside the Bible, it's called a rapture. In the Bible, it's called a resurrection. And this is where the Lord comes and we are gathered together unto him. Now, that's the biblical phrase that's used. We are gathered together unto him. Now, this is one of these judgments that comes during this seven-year period. And it seems that all these judgments just escalate. They get worse and worse and worse with each new judgment. When you look at this one, in verse 12, it says, the fourth sounded, third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day, shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So you have during the day the sun. Let's figure. How many hours during the day do we have really daylight? Now we're in daylight savings right now. This is the longer period of the sun's exposure to the earth. This is planting season around the world. This is the time where plants need more sunlight in order to manufacture the nourishment that'll get fruit, vegetables, and whatever. Now, you take, how many hours a day is this sun going to shine? Okay, this is during a long time, the 14 and a half. The average probably is going to be about 12. The average is going to be about 12. All right, now it says one third of that, it says the sun won't shine. Won't shine. Now, what that means is that the sun is not going to get through the atmosphere. It isn't that the sun just has a blackout time where it just doesn't shine anymore. It's talking about our ability to see the sun. It is blocked off. Same is true of the moon. Number of very important points about this. First of all, you take one third of 12, that is how much?
Four.
4 hours a day, that's all the sunlight you're going to get. Now, unless you've been raised, born in Alaska, where they have 6 months of darkness and 6 months of daylight, this is going to be traumatic for you. First of all, travel. A lot of the airplanes that are being flown today depend upon a connection with stars and satellites. And the satellites need solar power in order to operate properly. If they don't have that solar power, those batteries only last for so long. And when those batteries cut out, even with the best technology from the Earth, you cannot save that satellite. It's going to plunge into the Earth. There simply is no control over that satellite anymore. And this is what you're going to find. If you do your research, you'll find that right now there are hundreds of satellites in Earth orbit, hundreds of them. Some of them are solar powered. Most of them are, about 95% of them are. There are a couple out there that are nuclear powered. And it's interesting that they are going to remain, the ones that are nuclear powered are probably going to remain out there for a while, unless they get hit by some debris. And there's going to be a lot of debris out there, a lot. And these things that are in orbit right now are going to start coming down. So, you know, you talk about man having fear. There are going to be a lot of people who are terrified of some satellite, some space station that we set up there the size of a bus it's going to come down and hit them. If it hits a city, it could be devastating. If it hits certain areas, let's say a nuke plant, you could really have problems. But let's say that none of that happens. You have a problem with transportation. The other thing is this. When those satellites fail, what's going to happen to your cell phone communication? There was a young man that spoke to me last year, and somehow or another his internet service got cut off, and he literally was shaking. Said, "Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any connection to the world. I can't turn on my computer. It doesn't work on the internet anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do." Now, I'm afraid that he is typical of a lot of young people today who totally depend upon the internet. In his case, it wasn't for information purposes. He's a gamer. And he just plays games all day. That's all he does, plays games. How many hundreds of thousands of young people in his condition in the United States live today when they get up, when they get to bed, they live for the purpose of gaming? What's going to happen? There is a legitimate psychological disease that is called internet addiction. And there are millions of people who have it. What about you? Test yourself. Tonight, if you did not have any connection to the internet, let's say for a week, how would you handle it? Would you be able to make it through? Or would you constantly be trying to make that connection somehow, some way, because you are addicted, although you won't admit it? There are an awful lot of people today, if they don't have their cell phone, they can't communicate. I mean, when a person can't drive without a cell phone on, when a person can't walk down the street without the cell phone attached to their ear, when a person can't walk out of a store without talking to somebody on the cell phone, that is an addiction. And there are millions of people in this country today who have that addiction. Now, this is one of the consequences of this judgment. It will bring horror into the lives of many people who are addicted. And I use that word accurately, addicted to the internet and communication. Now, this is temporary. They don't know that because they don't believe the Bible. But it's real. 4 hours a day is all these satellites are getting for building up their batteries. And once that ends, they can't even communicate with command control here on the earth. Everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. The other thing is this. Now, we live in an area that has that. Well, they brag about the sunshine. Florida is called the Sunshine State. So much so that FPL and other power companies have decided we're going to do away with those nasty coal-burning turbines and generators. We're going to move to solar. And some of them have already started dismantling the old-fashioned coal-burning or oil-burning generator plants. So they're relying upon solar. What happens when they only have 4 hours of sunlight a day? There's going to be a lot of people without power. Now, probably every one of you here have gone through the ordeal of a hurricane with no power. And you know the frustration of trying to get a hold of the power company and saying, well, the people in the other side of town, they have power. Why can't I have power? And then your cell phone goes dead because the battery is gone. And you can't charge it. I mean, I've seen this. You know, some of you may deny it, but I've seen panic when the power goes out. No electricity. What are we going to do? Get ready. Hurricane season hasn't begun yet. But think about this. This is worldwide. Worldwide. Acres and acres of solar panels designed to make more money for the power companies and make it easier so far as providing clean electricity. It doesn't work except 4 hours out of the day. Is that enough to keep those batteries charged? No, definitely not. So consider what is coming for the people who are here on this earth when the sun only shines 4 hours a day. These are considerations when you look at the problems that they're going to have. There are problems in that the sun does two things when it comes to bacteria and germs. The sun kills some and mutates others. One of the reasons when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, he put a firmament around the earth. That was to protect the earth from the sun's rays, because once the sun's rays get in, they tend to mutate whatever germs are there. And so you have this double whammy coming against the people on the earth, in that the sun's rays are coming through, germs are mutated, they very quickly evolve into things that man hasn't prepared for. You're going to have more disease, more problems, and that is a factor that we have to take into account during the tribulation. There will be a huge amount of disease all over the earth. What are they going to do? Depend upon the CDC. Maybe they can call up Dr. Fauci and he can tell them whatever they want to hear. You know, all sorts of things could happen. But the reality is, it's going to really be bad health-wise with only 4 hours a day of sun. Now, the other factor is the Bible says the moon will be darkened. The effects of the moon will change. Anybody know the Latin word for moon? Luna. Luna. And it's applied to crazy behavior, and it's changed a little bit, and they call people who act crazy lunatics. Lunatics. Way back in the medieval times, doctors would look at different people and their behaviors, and they found that people's behaviors very often were shaped by phases of the moon. Now, two aspects of this. One is it could be spiritual. 4 days before, 4 days after the full moon, you have a lot of Satanists who worship and actually assign demons to come after people. 4 days before, 4 days after a full moon. But the other factor is this. The moon has a gravitational pull. This is why we have high tides and low tides. It's all because of the moon. What happens when that doesn't work anymore for most of the time? Well, one of the reasons that the ocean cleanses itself is by God's plan. Waters get high, waters go low, and the filth and the dirt that is deposited in the oceans, it gets cleansed by going through the sand. It gets cleansed. What happens when that doesn't happen anymore? You have an effect on people's minds. You have the effect of the ocean appearing to be more polluted than it ever was, because the effects of the moon are only going to be minimal. So these are things that are going to happen, and we just look at it, the sun's going to be darkened, the moon's going to be darkened, the stars, they're going to be darkened for, again, only you're only going to have them for 4 hours a day. When that takes place, it's going to be a whole lot more serious than people just reading about it. And speaking of the stars, let me just throw this in. A lot of the long flights that you're looking at, some of the larger aircraft today going up between 35, 40,000 feet cruising altitude, they have equipment on those planes that actually lock into the stars. And they have certain stars that are used for navigation. Now, that used to be common in the old ships that would run back and forth over the Atlantic. They would look for the stars and try to guide themselves by the stars. A lot of people don't realize that this is the same basic science that is used to guide a lot of aircraft today. Is that going to interfere with planes coming to the right place? You're headed for Norway and you end up in the Canary Islands. It would be very easy for that to happen. As a matter of fact, most likely travel is going to be stopped. They're not even going to attempt trying to go from one place to another. So this is going to put more stress on people because they can't get away. You know, being locked down and not being able to move about and do the things you want to do, it does have an effect on people's thinking if you don't bring things to the Lord. And one of the things that several hospitals have noted is that they now have many, many more suicides as a result of the lockdowns than they've ever had. One hospital reported a 2,000% increase in the number of suicides, and this was attributed to the lockdowns. So, you know, all these things we can understand because we've been through just a tiny little bit. And whether it's produced by a hurricane and no electricity, or whether we see the results of the coronavirus, whatever it might be, we're seeing just a tiny little bit of what is going to take place in the tribulation. So just consider all the people are going to be up against, and what type of attitude they're going to have. You know, a lost person, when they don't get their way, are they kind, gracious? No. What you're going to find is that when lost people don't get their way, they get violent. And this accounts for a lot of road rage today. People saying, "I'll get even with you." Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, but you're driving faster than I am, so I'm going to get even with you. Things like this, we see, again, very, very small percentage of it, but it's out there today. And we need to understand how hugely this is going to affect people. All right, now, you have climate changes as a result of all that goes on. You have weather systems that are dramatically changed. Does the sun have anything to do with weather? Of course it does. Of course it does. So you're going to have these weather changes going on. The entire system or systems that operate the weather, they're all going to change. Now, you know, you hear about this global warming stuff, and people are constantly saying how terrible it's going to be. In Antarctica, they've been doing a lot of research lately. And the things that they have uncovered are really amazing. They have found in Antarctica plants, trees, as they've dug down, they have found plants and trees that have frozen, and it was a quick freeze. But these plants and trees were the type that only grow in tropical weather. And there they are at the South Pole. At the South Pole. And scientists are scratching their heads and saying, I don't know how this happened. Well, number one, Antarctica at one time was around the equator. And secondly, that quick freeze that they don't understand, all that water that built up and suddenly got cold. Well, the Bible talks about it as the flood during Noah's time. Now, these scientists can scratch their heads and, you know, tickle their brain if they go that far. But the problem is, the answer is already there, and they refuse to see it. They refuse to accept it. Now, all these things are going to have a tremendous effect upon people. Atmospheric changes in the behavior of people. You're going to see changes in the power generating plants, things like this. Let's just say a person doesn't want to accept what the New Testament says. Let's say a person ridicules the Bible and says the book of Revelation is not to be taken seriously. And there are some people like that who say those things, but then they say, we believe in the Old Testament. Well, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13 and we're going to look at verse 9. Well, let's begin with verse 8 because there's some things there you might want to look at later. Verse 8 says, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. Now, almost those exact words are what Jesus taught in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17. they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Old Testament. Saying the same thing we just read about the trumpet judgments. God is angry. Does God have a right to be angry? Oh, yeah. All we have to do is look around us. There are many states, there are many governors that they will allow bars and liquor stores to open, but they don't want churches to operate. They will fight against the churches. They will restrict churches. One of the things we have to be very careful about is that this is going to be the trend. This isn't just in California anymore. There are governors all across this country who can't wait to subject the churches to state rule. And it's a very simple principle. Either the church belongs to God or the church belongs to the state. And we have to understand that if we have to ask permission to do something as a church, we have to ask them, for an example, can we hold services this week? Then they can either consent or deny that. That's permission. Our forefathers were wiser, and they said, the Congress shall enact no law regarding the churches, the free exercise of religion. None. So the issue is this. Are we given permission by the state, or are we given rights by God? And see, that's where every Christian has to make that decision themselves. There are a lot of Christians, and I'm not saying they're not saved. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians today, and they may very well be saved, who believe that we must submit, as a church, we must submit to the state. You know, my Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, not the state. And we have to settle down in our own minds as to which we're going to believe, the state or God. Now, we look at what the world is going to go through. By the way, let's go over to the book of Joel real quickly. Joel. Book of Joel, chapter 2. I want to get this in before we leave tonight. It's talking about an invasion. A lot of places are going to be invaded. To some extent, we're just seeing a tiny, tiny little piece of that today across this country. It says in verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Again, Old Testament. A lot of people want to throw out the book of Revelation. It's a foolish thing to do to begin with. But if you want to do it, there is enough substantial scripture in the Old Testament to tell us what's going to happen. So it's all there. It's all there. These are the judgments, the trumpet judgments that will come. And by the way, there are other scriptures saying the same thing. Isaiah 16, verse 19 says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto them. And, you know, these things are clear. Like I said, there are many scriptures. And we need to understand that even the Jewish people, if they have rejected the New Testament, they can see what's happening in the Old Testament. It's there. We're going to see many Jews come to know the Lord as Savior. Not the majority of them, but what the Bible calls a remnant. A remnant. There are 144,000 Jews sealed when we're taken out of the way. They are entrusted with sharing the gospel to the people of the world, primarily the Jewish people, because they're the only ones who now have a chance. And to the Gentiles, they're going to hate them. They're going to hate them. We're seeing this build today. We're seeing hatred. There was a church, I think it was in Arkansas, I'm not sure, where they held services. And the neighbors across the street came and burned the church down. This is the hatred that is out there today. And it is running rampant. Our legal system has forgotten the Constitution of this country, even so far as the Supreme Court is concerned. And this is where we stand now. Just imagine what it's going to be like during the tribulation. For those people, those Jews who do get saved, the Bible says that they're going to go to a place and they're going to have to hide. They're going to have to hide. And, you know, we'll go into detail as to where it is and the reasons for it and so on a little bit later. But the hatred is building. It's building all over. And, you know, what we see today, so far as parents wanting their kids to have a good education, Christian parents homeschooling or sending the kids to Christian school, this is a great thing. But the world sees it differently because the Christian kids are being taught to think. They are being taught with a foundation of truth. Now, that foundation has been pulled out from under the kids in public school. There is no more foundation of right and wrong. I mean, just look at the logic today of all these rioters and looters. They say they're out there for justice. How can it be justice when they're burning down the place of somebody that never was involved in killing a black man? How can that be justice? How can it be justice to kill a policeman who never had anything to do with the death of a black man? How can that be justice? But you see, in today's world, the public education system redefines, reshapes everything for its own purposes. And the purpose is chaos. The purpose is we want people to depend upon us and our definitions, not on the Word of God. And so they strip people of their freedoms. We need to pray, seriously. We don't know what's going to happen in this coming election. already, there are numerous people on one side that have said that if we are elected, we're going to take away homeschooling, we're going to take away Christian schools, and they will all become public schools, and every child must be enrolled in a public school. Now, this is what they plan. This is what they want. And the scary thing is they're probably going to get it if they get in. They took a poll recently of the people who have been involved in the online schools during this coronavirus thing. And they found that 30% of the parents, 30% of them, from now on wanted to homeschool their kids rather than send them to the public school again. 30% wanted to homeschool their kids. Who are these people? Who are these people? A lot of them are parents who don't even know whether the kids are watching the online school. A lot of them don't care what happens to their kids, because they know when the kids go back to school, they're just going to be passed on one grade to another to another with even 25% of the public school kids, former public school kids, that may be homeschooled or assigned to a, or go to a Christian school. If even 25% do that, do you realize how many kids are going to be using it as a game? How many kids are just going to slide on by because they're not going to take it seriously any more than they did during the coronavirus when they were sequestered in their own homes? They're not going to do it. And so what happens when they get to 12th grade? And there's going to be some that are probably close to it now. And the government comes across and says, all right, we want to take a look at your educational standards. What's going to happen to those kids who barely can read and write, who really didn't get an education the past couple of years? What's going to happen? The government's going to come down and say, see, homeschooling and private schooling is a failure. And that's going to give them an excuse to shut down everything else. So, you know, just look at their playbook. This is what they admit they already want to see done. And we need to be aware of this. There are consequences to doing what's right. We can go all the way back to the time of Moses when the government said all boys must be killed. And there were some parents who said, I know we're risking our lives, and midwife too, all got together, we're risking our lives, but we got to keep this baby alive. And even though they faced the death penalty, all three of them, they kept Moses alive. God had a purpose for that young man. God had a purpose. It's the same way with all our children, all our young people. God has a purpose, and we need to follow that purpose because he put us here in a very unique time in history, a time right before his wrath bursts on the earth. The Bible calls it the time, the day of God's wrath. And we're here as the last opportunity for many people to hear the gospel. Who else is going to tell them except Christians who are submissive to the Lord? You see, it's one thing for Christians to get together and worship and sing praises and pray together, but if when they leave the church building, nothing is told about how important the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is, what good does all that do? How does that change people's lives? So we need to consider, we've been born at a time that is very significant. You may be the instrument that God can use to reach somebody who's living in fear, reach somebody who believes everything that the news media says. You could be the one God can use to turn them to Jesus. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit that binds us together, that brings us the peace that this world cannot legislate and cannot give. But you, Father, are our peace. And you provided for us so many things by your grace. Help us, Lord, to show our appreciation every day. Help us, Lord, to show that we love you and that that love isn't just in words. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and recognize what a privilege it is to be the last line of opportunity for so many people around the world as well as in our own communities. The last opportunity for many of them to hear what you did for them. Father, use us, work through us, that you would be glorified. And we thank you that you can do that this week through us. In Jesus' name, amen.